We have spent, or I thought about this, we've spent over the last year and a half or so and a lot of time in the Old Testament, and I think I finally landed on why. We're starting to get into some New Testament stories. You take this much of a wording in the New Testament, and there's like 50 million things you can preach on. So I once again, had trouble landing on where I was going to go with this, so let's kind of break it down. This is the story of the paralytic. It's early in Jesus' ministry. He had just started recruiting the disciples. In fact, it's after this story that he actually names the 12. So he's recruiting disciples. He hadn't done many miracles, really. He had healed a leper and told the leper, don't tell anyone. And probably like I would have done, he told everyone. He went and blabbed everybody. And so now that's drawn a lot of attention to Jesus, including the Pharisees, the keepers of the law. Now, Jesus was a rabbi. He was a Jewish teacher who was now getting a following, and whenever that happened back then, the Pharisees would come and make sure that the upstart young punk was preaching the right thing, saying the right words, using the right translation of the Bible. If we suddenly had 5,000 people surrounding this building on Sunday mornings, I have a sneaky suspicion the bishop would come up to see what I was saying. So we would just move, so he would, no. But they were doing their job, and the Bible says they were all there. They were all there. They had come from every village in Galilee and Judea and from Jerusalem. These were all the higher-ups in the Jewish condition, and there would have been a fuss. They had their entourages. They had their finery. You think Pope Francis has the robe. These guys had the robe. They even wore those boxes on their heads. I forget what those are called. But there's a Deuteronomy verse. They would tuck in these boxes, the one that says, oh, what does it say? Do you know, Keith? Anyway, I'll have that for you next week. I should have looked it up. I apologize. Just came to mind. They would have their entourage, their attendants, and they would have drawn the attention of the whole community. This is what it would look like in today's day. It would be like I caught the attention of Billy Graham, Joel Osteen, Joyce Meyer, Rick Warren, Adam Hamilton. I don't know any other current pastors. And who? Andy Stanley. And they all came to my house to hear what I thought about things. I know what would happen. At least WFRN would be there, right? But my whole house would probably be surrounded by people who wanted to just get a glimpse of these famous people. And if these Pharisees and teachers of the law of Moses had blessed Jesus and his ministry, then the people would have naturally followed. Most versions of this said that the Pharisees came in, the religious leaders came in, and they sat down. And that was almost a slam to Jesus, because in those days, teachers didn't stand up to preach. They sat down. And if you were seated, that meant you were in a position of authority. So they go in front of Jesus, and they sit down, lest he think they're not important. They were there to give Jesus a test, and they wanted to see if Jesus could pass. But Jesus had the cheat sheet. So here's this house. Houses back then held about 30 people. They were 18 by 18 square feet. So held about 30 people. And then surrounding the house, going down the streets were the crowds. And then here comes four guys with their friends on a stretcher or a mat, a cot. Their friend is paralyzed, and they're bringing him to see Jesus because they heard about the healing of the leper. So they're bringing their friend to Jesus to see if Jesus can heal him. Now, we can deduce from this story that this man was probably not paralyzed at birth. We know that in those days, if you were born with a condition of any kind, you were considered carrying the sins of your mother and father. So those people are ostracized. He really wouldn't have had any friends if he had made it past the kind midwife who may or may not have held her hand a little too long over the baby's face. So if you were born with a condition, you were already considered a sinner, and that was it. And so there's probably this man's paralysis was due to an injury or a later in life illness, but he still had his friends who were close to him, close enough to him to want to get him to Jesus. So they show up and they get through the crowds, trying to get through the crowds, and they can't, but that's not going to stop them. Back then, all the houses, because of the heat, a lot of people would actually sleep on the rooftops, and there was a ladder or a staircase going on the outside of everyone's homes to the roof. So they take advantage of that. The four friends carry their friend up to the roof, and then they break through the roof. Now, the construction probably would have been some tiles, some pieces of wood and a bunch of reeds, probably pretty dirty, especially when it came down. So I want you to imagine the scene. This man's on a mat, and his four friends are carrying up the stairs, and he's helpless. He can't do a darn thing about it. Even if he's saying, guys, it's okay, we'll wait for another day, it's okay. His friends were determined and carried him up anyway. And there he is laying on the mat in the roof, and he all of a sudden he sees the hole opening, and he realizes his four friends had better be pretty strong because he's about to go through that hole. Then this guy, Jesus, is in talking to the Pharisees. Pharisees are sitting very properly in all their finery. And out of the blue, clear sky, the ceiling opens up, all this debris falls on him, and a man lands at Jesus' feet. Debris, dirt, tiles falling on these Pharisees' fine clothes. Chaos. Chaos. And Jesus looks up, and he sees the men's friends looking, peering down through that hole at him expectantly. And he looks around and he sees all the Pharisees sputtering and choking with this indignation of intrusion. And then he looks down at this helpless man at his feet, this guy's eyes so wide-eyed. But he can't go anywhere. Now what? And Jesus says, "Your sins are forgiven." What? His friends, we carry him all this way up the stairs. We dug a hole into a strange person's roof. We've created vandalism. We dropped our friend down, and all you can say is his sins are forgiven. We brought him here to be healed. Are you kidding us? And the man, oh great, now what am I supposed to do? Thanks a lot, Jesus. I'm forgiven. What is that even supposed to mean? Remember, these are Jewish people talking to Jewish leaders. They don't have the benefit of the cross and the resurrection. Jesus is just a guy at this point. And Jesus says to him, "You're forgiven." And the Pharisees, oh, this is one of those things. I wish I could have been there. The Pharisees just absolutely appalled. How dare he? Who is this man? He's dishonoring God. He's blaspheming. Some of them probably fainted. Who besides God can forgive sins? And the crowd hearing the Pharisees saying that, I bet you anything, if they didn't say it, they thought it. Ooh, Jesus is in trouble. And I almost feel sorry for the Pharisees because they've walked right into a trap. Because Jesus says this, fine. What's easier to say? You're forgiven or get up and walk? Fact of the matter is both are very easy to say. Very easy to say. I can say you're a frog, but that doesn't make you one. I can say you can play the piano. Oh, can you? I bet you can. Doggone it, pick the wrong person. Whoever here, I could say you play the piano, but that doesn't mean you can. I can say all of you are forgiven, but that can't be proven one way or another. So Jesus says, you need to understand that the Son of Man has the authority to forgive sin. And if he tells the man, pick up your mat and go home, that proves it. This is the first time Jesus has used that term Son of Man. Son of Man in lowercase means just a member of humanity. But in the ancient language, it differed. We use capital letters to distinguish it in the Bible. But back then, when he said that he was the Son of Man, it pointed directly to a prophecy from Daniel, when Daniel had prophesied that a representative of God was going to come to earth as a human. And Jesus was giving these people the very first glimpse of who he was. And so Jesus says, pick up your mat and go home, and the man does. So what's easier to do, say your sins are forgiven or say you're healed? What's easier to do, forgive sins or heal a person? By forgiving first, Jesus was setting it up so that folks would understand he could indeed forgive sin. That if this man could walk, his sins were forgiven. And had Jesus healed the man first, it wouldn't have been as big a deal because there would have been no chance for Jesus to give him what he really needed, and that was for his sins to be forgiveness. Forgiveness of sin, forgiveness from that which keeps us separated from God, that isn't just an option that happens to be thrown into the life with Jesus package. It's the whole reason why Jesus came to earth and died and rose again, so that your sins can be forgiven, which allows you to be in relationship with the Father who loves you. Jesus didn't come to earth to bring you healing from your illnesses or to reconcile a broken relationship or to provide you with a good job or money or food or clothing. Jesus did not come to earth to take away your troubles or to give you peace or to give you joy, but by healing you, by softening your angry heart, by providing for you, by easing your minds and bringing you peace, he is proving if he can do these things, then he is absolutely who he is, he says he is, and he has the authority to forgive your sin. And like this paralyzed man who got up and walked, glorifying God the whole way, the proof of who Jesus is borne out by the way that we respond to his mercy and grace. When Jesus saw their faith, the Bible says, when Jesus saw their faith, the friend's faith, when he saw their faith, he said, "Sir, your sins are forgiven." Jesus saw the faith of the friends, and as a result, the man was forgiven. And this is prior to the cross. But the truth is now, the faith of others won't bring you to salvation. The truth is, right now, everyone on this earth is forgiven. Everyone that was born before us is forgiven. Everyone that will come after us is forgiven. Jesus bore the sins of all of humanity on the cross over 2,000 years ago. That's the sins of all humanity, past, present, and future. But in order to have eternal life, in order to become a child of God, in order to develop that relationship with the Father and the Son, in order for the Holy Spirit to dwell within us and guide us to become all who God created us to be, in order for us to be in relationship with the Father, you have to accept that gift. It's already been given to you. Jesus has already forgiven you, and he holds out the gift of salvation. But it's your decision whether or not to take it. Mercy, grace, forgiveness, extended to you, all you need to do is claim it and then praise God for what he's done in your life. Amen.